Could it be in that that some didn't have time to take this journey? Could some possibly in their mind say, since he's gone now, it doesn't take all that? That we can just do our own thing? Was it those that didn't truly believe in what he was saying? I doubt that. Because the word of God said, he specifically said that he opened up their understanding. They knew what he had asked them to do. They knew that the promise was in Jerusalem. And what is it, Brother Latell? It's called a want to.
Yeah.
It's called a lackadaisical spirit. It's called a complacency. Friend, each and every day, if I can just keep your attention just for a few more moments, but it's each and every day. It is a process that's going to take you and I to get up out of our bed, put our feet on the floor, and say, I'm still on my way to Jerusalem. It is a process of living for God. It is a process that I've got to make sure that I'm saved daily. I can't just come to church one day a week or once a month, but I've got to have Jesus each and every day, because I made up my mind that somebody saw me and somebody convinced me that I've got to come to church. And I begin to understand what the Spirit was saying. I made up my mind that day that I'm going to end this thing in New Jerusalem. I'm not going to end this thing in a hell of fire for eternity. But when I started this journey, I'm going to keep one foot firm and one foot in front of the earth. And I'm going to make sure that not only me, but my family, we're going to get to Jerusalem. I don't care what the mockers say. I don't care what the family say. This influence.
Come on.
Friend, you can't worry about it. What everybody else is going to say and do. Especially if they're not living for God himself. Because the enemy can use them to pull you out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Friend, if there was ever a moment in your life that you need to cling to your pastor's feet, your pastor's words, it is now. Because I don't need somebody else's influence coming upon me and trying to make me decide if I'm doing this for me or just man. Friend, you better be doing this for you, because it's going to be you standing before that throne, that judgment. I'm telling you, friend, it's going to be you that's going to hear the part for me. Oh, God, I couldn't think of souls. God is not going to be there. Daddy's not going to be there. I'm telling you, friend, it's going to be you. You got to decide this morning. Hey, listen, friend, when this book was written, I understand you got the interpretation in 1611, but this is the word of God. This was the beginning of the church. All those other doctrines, all those other false religions, they didn't come to acquire until 325 AD, friend. 325 years after Pentecost, 325 years, man said, maybe I can influence the world with something different. Maybe I can influence somebody else, saying that, hey, it doesn't take all that. It doesn't, all that's not necessary. Friend, if the word of God says, you gotta be born again in the spirit and in the water, it takes it. If the Bible says, you gotta be separate from the world, it takes it. If the Bible says, that we are the seed and son of the hill, I'm telling you, friend, it takes it. Several individuals,
yes, in Jesus,
in this very building this morning. Some has been on this journey for just a few days, a few weeks, a few months. There's been some that has been on this journey for years. And now in your spirit, you're feeling an influence. You're feeling something that's trying to persuade you differently. And friend, I've come to preach to you this morning that you can't stop in the middle of the journey to Jerusalem. I don't care if it takes us coming to this church every morning for the rest of our life to make sure the insurety that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. If it takes me fasting 2 and 3 times a day to make sure the insurety of my family, my children, that I'm doing the very best that I can do to make sure that I'm being the greatest example to my children, to my family, friend. I'm telling you, yes, it's going to take that in this last day and hour. It's going to take us getting out of our comfort zone to finish out this race. I'm telling you, friend, I'm pressing toward and I'm looking for the day I cross that finish line and I get my crown. I'm telling you, I'm going to have eternity to shout the walls down, to shout the streets of gold. There's one thing that I've got to do, and I've got to continue steadfastly in this journey. Every day, every hour, every minute, I can't let the pressure of exhaustion, I can't let an influence of that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Preacher, I can't do this. I can't make it because I am this to my family. I have an image that I've got to uphold, that I've made myself a reputation in this world. Friend, the reputation will pull you straight to hell. I'm telling you, friend, you're saying, preacher, you've been in vain. No, I'm trying to save someone's soul that is going to take you, giving up everything in your mind and allowing God to fulfill the things, because you cannot make it on your own. I believe that's why he said in the Bible in Acts 1:8 that you're going to receive power, because that power is going to help you continue on your daily journey. That power is going to help you. It's not going to hinder you, because when the candidate comes in like a flood, that power of the anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be there as a strong tower. It's going to be there as a hedge of protection. Come on, friend. God said that I gave you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you enough power that you can talk like apostolic. You can walk like apostolic. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upon the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. The one in scripture, there it is, that Jesus Christ ascended so he can be seen. Jesus Christ ascended like man matter, and he's going to come and descend in spiritual matter. I'm telling you, friend, on that day of Pentecost, when he came into that upper room as a rushing mighty wind, it was Jesus Christ said, I'm God, and I'm here to give you something. Jesus Christ, hey, don't you remember when you walk out of that tomb? And those two disciples were there. What did he do? He breathed on the altar the Holy Ghost. As he got on the day of Pentecost, he breathed into that place the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
They were there. They heard.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want it. Except for 120. The Bible says that then they returned to Jerusalem. The Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day journey. When they were come in into Jerusalem, they went up into the upper room. Now this is where I'm going to blow the Catholicism clean out the water.
All right.
Peter was there, James was there, John was there, Andrew was there, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, so on and so forth, and they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. Wait a minute, there was women there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mary wasn't a Catholic. She was a drunk apostolic. Jesus, full of power and spirit. I'm telling you, read it. I cannot give you the Holy Ghost, but you can receive the Holy Ghost by faith. Scripture says, open your mouth and I will fill it. So when you approach God in repentance and you ask Him to forgive you of every sin that you have ever committed, to known and unknown, it is forgiven. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what your family says. It is forgiven. And He says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission. What is remission? A turning away from sins and about face. And He shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do I receive it, preacher? By faith. Because faith without works is dead. So if you don't believe you can receive it, you'll never receive it. But if you approach God humble and ask God to forgive you your sins and ask Him for the Holy Ghost,